this service by singing hymn number 233, Thy Strong Word. Please rise.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So shall the word that comes from my mouth prevail. It shall not return to me fruitless, without accomplishing my purpose or succeeding in the task I give it. Sisters and brothers, we have gathered here at Holden Village in order to think afresh on our call and mission as servants of the gospel. In our opening prayer, we thus ask God to be present among us and to grant us the fullness of the life-giving Spirit, to the end that we might be renewed in mind and spirit and body to fulfill our common task. Let us pray. Eternal Lord, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, so that we become instruments of your redeeming love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Be seated. Our readings for this week, this service, and the morning praises will be following the daily appointed text for this week, the year one text. For our Old Testament reading, I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 21, one of the outstanding stories of injustice in the Bible. Now Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And after this, Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near my house, and I will give you a better vineyard for it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." And Ahab went into his house vexed and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. For he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, "Why is your spirit so vexed that you eat no food?" And he said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it please you, I will give you another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, 'Do you now govern Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.'" So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. And she sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who dwelt with Naboth in his city. And she wrote in the letters, "Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two base fellows opposite him, and let them bring a charge against him, saying, 'You have cursed God and the king.' Then take him out and stone him to death." And the men of his city, the elders and the nobles who dwelt in his city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them. As it was written in the letters which she had sent to them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And the two base fellows came in and sat opposite him. And the base fellows brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth cursed God and the king." And so they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth has been stoned. He is dead." As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead." And as soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab arose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Here ends the first lesson. Psalm 32. We would ask that those on the right of center read verse 1 and those to the left verse 2 and so forth. On the right. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they.
Have no understanding, you must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Be glad, you righteous, rejoice in the Lord, shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
The second lesson is from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, the first chapter, in which Paul sets out his word of the cross. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God always for you, because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him with all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no dissensions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brethren. What I mean is that each one of you says, "I belong to Paul," or "I belong to Apollos," or "I belong to Cephas," or "I belong to Christ." Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I am thankful that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that you were baptized in my name. Oh, I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Here ends the second lesson. We now follow in the service of the word and sing the response, God's word is our great heritage. Shall we stand, please, for that? According to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will give his angels charge of you and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again it is written, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to them, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This homily is launched by the gospel lesson that Walt just read. And this time around with this text, I really got fascinated by the angels, those friendly and helpful messengers of God. And I remember one of my own encounters with an angel. Her name is Frida. Frida used to be the best hugger at St. Timothy. I say used to be because she's gone now to love an LCA parish in Phoenix. Their gain, our loss. But the encounter came at one of those times when people in the congregation seem to be snipping and grumbling about minor things. And I was taking some of those things personally. And true to form, the way I am at those times, I was kind of getting frumpy and grumpy, and though I expected that the staff that I work with knew that up close, I kind of thought I was hiding it from other people, but not from Frieda. So Frieda called me one morning and she said, "Pastor, why don't we take a walk?" We took a walk. And Frieda, in her loving and gentle way, pulled it all out of me. My anger and my frustration, the self-doubt, that judgment that maybe it was time for me to look for a move. You probably understand all that. I don't know if she understood it all. But as we walked, I was given the gospel according to Frieda. And the amen was one of those warm, caring hugs. And that was a turning point. I was refreshed. And I knew that God had sent an angel to help me. Now, angels come in a variety of forms. Martin Luther, in one of his sermons on this text, suggested that the angels who appeared to Jesus probably came as cook and baker and waiter because of the hunger of our Lord. And so that might be a way for us to think of the cooks and the bakers and the waiters, Elmer's company, who will be serving us this week. And because people don't live by bread alone, we'll add into that mix the musicians and the lecturers and the proclaimers of the word. All of these angels given for the refreshment of servants of God who have come from Satan's turf. You know, Jordan's water was still beating up on the beard and the hair of the Lord Jesus when he was led away by the Spirit into the wilderness. The wilderness is Satan's turf, and the wilderness can be anywhere. The neighborhood of St. Timothy can be the wilderness, as St. Paul's and St. Peter's, or wherever your parish is, where the field marshal of evil is arraying his forces to disrupt the purpose of God and to scatter the people of God's kingdom. The very people that we're trying to gather. And the lying begins. And even the scripture gets distorted. And the saints of God are transformed into alligators for a time. And that's when ministers like us face our greatest temptation. Sick and tired, frustrated and angry, we become blind to the difference between saints and alligators, and we are rendered as vulnerable as Jesus was by 40 days of fasting. And that's why we need angels. I'm wondering if many of you, like me, have not just been longing for this week and for this place. The rest, the refreshment, the healing of perspective. This is a place of angels, and it's a good place for us. Just as the gospel is a good gospel for us. Because here we see Jesus on Satan's turf, where we live. We can look through our self-pity and see him vulnerable, tempted as we are to force our solutions on our own discomforts, or to somehow manipulate God into showing the divine hand, or just simply trying to escape from hard service by going into our own illusions of grandeur. Jesus on our turf. Showing himself to be totally faithful and totally obedient. to the purpose and the Word of God. The Messiah was drawn into that wilderness encounter as a matter of necessity. The record of God's children needed to be set right. Child Israel, during the 40 years in Sinai's wilderness, were tempted too, as our Lord was, and time and again they failed the test, just as children of God have from generation to generation. And the Messiah's commission was to set the record of God's children right by his own faithful obedience. And Jesus held true to the course of God's purpose and God's kingdom. He's the one who in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew is named Emmanuel, God with us. And he's the one who frames the promise of the closing of the Gospel. I will be with you to the close of the age. And so there are cooks and there are bakers and there are waiters and there are proclaimers. And there's no need for us to pity ourselves, because there's also the Lord Jesus. And the servant is never better than the master. Not when it comes to temptation either. Nor is there need to give in to alligators. For the faithful son who sets the record right and who has put Satan into retreat, is at our side and will sustain it. And it is for him, in this week, through angels and messengers, to breathe his word into our hearts so that it might be in our mouths, his strong word, strong enough to put Satan in his place, to restore alligators to sainthood, and to restore these men and women to the joys of the ministry. Lord, I thank you for these days of refreshment and for this place of angels. Amen.
Shall we stand and confess together our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He shall come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you gave the holy apostles many gifts and commanded them to feed your flock. Inspire all pastors to preach your word diligently and your people to receive it willingly, that finally we may receive the crown of eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, Almighty God, draw our hearts to you. Guide our minds, fill our imaginations, control our wills, so that we may be wholly yours. Use us as you will, always to your glory and the welfare of your people, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Lord God, you have called each of us into your service. Take our lives and use them as you see fit. Where we are in need, give us strength. Where we are in confusion, give us patience. Where we are strong, give us gratitude. If the fire of our faith has grown dim, rekindle it. If it is like ashes, resurrect it. Above all, let us trust the power and promise of your word to make us whole and new. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord our God, receive this ceaseless prayer from your servants and have mercy on us according to your great mercy. Send your grace upon all your people who are expecting from you the wealth of your grace.
Amen.
Christ is our peace, who has made us one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. Share the peace with one another. Thank you for sharing God's peace. Filled with confidence in God's grace, we are bold to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. We forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Moving to the praise section. All your works praise you, O Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, sovereign of the universe. You made the whole earth for your glory. All creation praises you. We lift our voices to join the songs of heaven and earth, of things seen and unseen. You stretched out the heavens like a curtain. You divided the day from the night. You appointed times and seasons for work and rest, for tearing down and building up. You blessed your people through all generations and guided them in life and death. Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Miriam, Isaiah and all the prophets, Mary, mother of our Lord, Peter, James, John, and all the apostles, and all the saints and witnesses in your church of ages past, in whom your Spirit spoke and moved. May the Spirit of truth guide us in all truth and glorify Christ among us. Grant us faith to know your gracious purpose in all things, give us joy in them, and lead us to the building up of your kingdom, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May the God of all consolation bless you in every way and grant you peace all the days of your life.
Amen.
May God free you from all anxiety and strengthen your hearts in love. May God enrich you with gifts of faith, hope, and love, so that what you do in this life will bring you to the happiness of everlasting life.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll use the closing hymn. You'll note that the order of service says now a period of hospitality may occur. I want to thank Don Meyer for his message. One of the good things about having this kind of conference is the opportunity to hear one another. And Don will be followed by others in our midst who will bring us a message from the gospel. So thank you, Don, very, very much. The pianist is someone familiar to me and maybe a few of you. Just in case you didn't know, Jeanette Pilgrim, who does a little playing now and then, especially when she's under some help. I'd like to make a few introductions. I will, of course, give a lengthier introduction to each of the speakers before they give their initial presentation. But just so they don't keep wandering unknown and unrecognized by you, it's important that at least you be able to identify who they are. So, Jill Raitt, would you kindly stand, Jill? There she is. Okay. You all see her? And Richard Lisher. Rick, over there. I should have tried to let you pick out who the speakers are. It's not that easy, is it, when they dress like the rest of us? Ismael Garcia. Ismael, there. We're looking forward, of course, to their presentations during the week. One of the good traditions of this theological conference has been the presence of our bishops. And I again want to recognize that they are here and ask them kindly to stand, and let's give them a round of applause when they do, because I think it's really good that they are the ones who share the lead in being in a place where we can meet with one another and reflect on our gospel ministry task. Tom Blevins of Pacific Northwest Synod. Tom, please. I know your wife Judy is with you too, right? Okay. And, where? Oh. Cliff Lundy, North Pacific District. And Don Meyer, whom you've already heard, but stand up once again, Don. Unfortunately, due to a cause not of his own, Bishop Erhard Bauer is not able to be here. He again sent a note explaining that as long as we keep scheduling the conference on this week, he cannot make it. He has his district council presidents and so is committed to that. But I want to recognize him, and I'll tell him that we gave him a hand. Shall we do that?